They begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning, 34 minutes after the hour. 251-343-0106. If you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning, hit us up on that text line. That's the best way to do so. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Very kind to come on the show whenever I ask, and I am always, always appreciative of that. But he represents folks up in just south of the Tennessee River in the Shoals area. State Senator Larry Stutz on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thank you for having me on again.
Hey, and we always appreciate it. One primary reason I want to get you on, but just real quick before we get into all the maneuvering of last week's special session, how are things up that way? We're talking about COVID, and you obviously working at the hospital there are kind of aware of what's going on in that neck of the woods.
Well, the numbers have continued to trend down. I don't know the exact census today, but last week, the last number I saw, we had 5 COVID positive patients in the hospital, and we had this in the 50s, you know, not in the too distant past. So it's way, way down from what it has been for the last months.
You think that's is it the vaccine? You think that it's probably helping with this downward trend we're seeing across the state?
Well, I think the vaccine is helping. And we've got more and more people that have natural immunity. Every time you have someone recover from a positive case, you know that they've developed natural immunity, and so. We're seeing a combination of it kind of running its course through the population with natural immunity, and then also, you know, the effect of the vaccine. So I think it's both of those.
Well, hopefully this trend keeps up for the immediate future here. Senator, last week the legislature, you obviously were there, two bills. One bill to raise the age of consent on vaccines from 14 to 18 or whatever it was. But the other one, you took some issue to it, and this is why I want to get you on to kind of get your perspective, that the SB9 bill dealing with these medical exemptions specifically, not as much the religious exemptions, but it does create some questions or some things that need to be probably are going to need to be resolved in the future. Am I kind of explaining that correctly?
I think you are. You know, and I don't think you mentioned it, but I was a no vote on that bill on Senate. On Senate Bill 9. And the reason I was a no vote is, we were trying to strike a balance between the rights of the employee and the rights of the employer. And if you were going to appeal the objection to the vaccine, whose responsibility was it to appeal the objection to the vaccine? And, you know, the whole problem is there's not really a balance there. The mandate is the problem. You know, there are some things you just can't polish. And to try to fix the mandate, which I think is unconstitutional, and I'm hopeful that the courts are going to rule that it's unconstitutional, but the problem is the mandated vaccine. I mean, and you can't fix that because that's just a fundamental problem of an employer has a right to hire or fire who they want to hire or fire. And they have a right to, if they own a private business, to set the rules for the employees within that business. And then the flip side of that is the employee has, I think, an inherent right to make their own healthcare decisions. And they should not be mandated to take a vaccine as a requirement of their employment. So there's really no middle ground there. And I don't think that the bill really fixed that. I think that the courts are going to end up having to overturn the mandate and say, you know, this is an intrusion in one's private rights and cannot be mandated.
Was there a path in your mind, in your view, that for the legislature in this episode, that should, what would have been appropriate for the legislature to have done?
Well, like I said, that's a good question, because probably if the federal, if there are federal requirements, you know, they're probably going to override state requirements. And the whole problem, again, is that they're, from the federal mandate standpoint, they're tying federal money to, if you get federal money, you know, and that's what's got all the universities concerned, is that, you know, they have grant money and so forth that is, and they're dependent on federal dollars. And so the strings that are attached to that are saying you have to follow this mandate. And again, you know, that's probably going to override whatever we did in the state. So I think, you know, our intentions were good. You know, I was in on all the debate back and forth between employee rights and employer rights, and those, there were several bills, you know, introduced, and we ended up with this one bill. But at the end of the day, after it came back to the Senate, I really didn't feel like it fixed any of the problem, because again, you're faced with a unconstitutional mandate that you just can't fix.
Let me ask you this then, though. You know, to give the Attorney General another, I don't know, something else to argue in court, sort of like the abortion ban in 2019, that, you know, that, you know, that there's a supremacy clause, you understand that, but you want to make it a court case. I mean, would any of this help that effort to challenge the constitutionality of the vaccine mandate?
It might. And, you know, and we discussed that issue, and there were conflicting legal opinions on that issue of whether we needed to give the Attorney General an additional mechanism to fight it, or did the Attorney General have an implied right to object to it. So there were conflicting opinions on whether we needed to add more teeth to it to be enforced, or whether it could already be enforced, or that issue was debated. But like I said, the bottom line is an issue of personal freedom, an issue of a personal choice, you know. And it's really funny to me that the people on the other side of the issue, since you brought up the abortion issue, you know, they want to say freedom of choice to terminate your pregnancy, but we're going to require you to take a vaccine. You know, it's my body, my choice is the argument of the pro-abortion side, and unless it comes down to a vaccine, and then we're going to force you to take the vaccine. So, I mean, to me, you can't have that both ways. You can't argue for freedom of choice on abortion, but not having freedom of choice on whether or not you take a vaccine. And I want to preface that by saying I'm not against the vaccine. I took the vaccine. I took the vaccine early on when it was available. And so I'm not against the vaccine. As I said earlier, I think that has contributed to the downward number of cases. So I'm not arguing that nobody should take the vaccine. I'm just saying it should be a personal choice.
Joined by State Senator Larry Stutz here on the program. Senator, the now as a medical professional, and the way you get to the exemption you were talking, I believe I was watching your four speech about, you know, this creates some questions for healthcare professionals and the liability. Why do you think if this needs to go back and be cleaned up in the regular session in January, where does that need to start?
Well, first I'll say that this morning I have written a letter for a hospital employee recommending that they not get the vaccine. And so that's not an uncommon thing, not just with the COVID vaccine, but, you know, we write letters, fill out work restriction forms and so forth all the time for people. The particular one that I wrote this morning, it's a nurse in the hospital here, and she has a blood clotting disorder and has also had an active case of COVID. So I don't think, you know, there are plenty of exceptions of people that, you know, don't need a COVID vaccine. You know, the most visible one right now, I guess in the state is, Coach Harsin at Auburn. You know, he's just recovered from COVID, and he may be staring down a mandate of, you know, you can't work for the university unless you're vaccinated. And from a medical standpoint, he doesn't need a vaccine right now. He's just served a quarantine for the proven case of COVID. You know, when there are a lot of people out there that are in that category. And so, from a liability standpoint, from a physician, you know, I think you would treat it just like you would any other situation. You would make the best decision you could make and give the best recommendations you could make. And I'm not, you know, concerned about that liability aspect of it.
Let me ask you this now. When you have COVID, you get told that there's a window that you don't, you know, you have COVID, and then the time period between getting COVID and getting the vaccine, it could be, what, 90 days or 60 days or something like that. What do you do? What do you do if you're like, you had COVID last week and now you're working for a federal contractor, and the recommendation by those who administer a vaccine is that you need to wait? How do you maintain your employment?
Yeah, that's the whole problem with, like I said, with the mandate. It's number one, one size doesn't fit all. And you have to look at that on an individual basis. And again, somebody has to have the choice to say, I'm aware of the information. And I understand, I said, that's the problem with the bill, of trying to balance the employer rights and the employee rights. And the bottom line is that, you know, as an employer, then I can dictate what people in my office do and what the dress code is and all those sort of things. But I think it's fundamentally wrong to try to force them to take, you know, it's no different than any other medical condition. You know, if I had somebody that worked in my office that had diabetes, and am I going to fire them if they don't keep their blood sugar under good control? I mean, those are personal health care decisions, you know, and the problem is with this vaccine is, who does the vaccine protect? You know, does it protect the person that gets it? Does it protect the other people? You know, the problem is we're trying to protect the protected from the unprotected by requiring the unprotected to take a vaccine that doesn't protect the protected. You know, so who are you trying to help? Well, because there is data that, you know, if you've had COVID, you've got natural immunity if you've recovered. And that may be long lasting. It may be lifetime or months or years. We don't know because it hadn't been around that long. But if our immune system works with this like it does other things, then you're going to have memory cells where you can, mount an immune response if you're exposed again. So you're going to have some level of protection. That would be my argument against wholesale giving the vaccine to children, is because the best immunity, and I think the data supports this, the best immunity is going to be natural immunity. And by vaccinating a child and just having them immune to the spike protein part of the virus, we are depriving them of the opportunity to develop natural immunity. And the natural immunity would most likely, number one, be better. Number two, be longer lasting than the vaccine immunity. So by vaccinating a young child who has very, very low risk of getting sick from COVID, we're preventing them from the opportunity to develop natural immunity by natural exposure. And so I think that's the wrong approach in young children. Our children are not that age, but our children are adults. But if we had young children now, I would not vaccinate my children. I would let them have natural exposure.
One more question.
And I'm saying all that again and repeating that I'm vaccinated. I'm not against vaccines for, I'm not against other vaccines for children or adults. But in this situation, I think we're doing them a long-term disservice.
One more question and we'll get you out of here. On the mechanisms of this bill, going through the Department of Labor to look at these exemptions, is the Department of Labor the right place for that?
I don't know. That is a good question. And, you know, and the problem there, and again, this is one of the reasons I voted no on the bill, is we're trying to protect employees, that are having the threat of losing their job over this. But then you're putting the burden of an appeal back on the employee. And, I think the wording in the bill was if you appeal the Department of Labor rule and you appeal it to a court of competent jurisdiction. Well, if, a company that has an office here in the Shoals area, we'll say, and they're headquartered in Birmingham. Well, the employer wants the case heard in Birmingham. So now you've taken an employee that is under the threat of losing their job, and they will have to hire an attorney, travel out of town, all these things to facilitate their appeal. And so you've almost made it impossible for the average person to follow through on all the steps of the appeal because it's going to cost them thousands of dollars to take all these steps in the appeal process. So that was my point about the bill. I don't think we protect it. It's a good thought. That's the intent. I'm not against my colleague that voted for it and supported the bill, but I don't think we accomplished what we needed to accomplish.
Senator, we got to leave it there.
The bottom line is the mandate needs to go away.
Senator, we're out of time. You've been very kind to come on. Let's talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. That was State Senator Larry Stutz on the line. We got to get out of here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Do it again.